What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with Brooke's pick of February, and you chose a long overdue movie with 2017's Get Out. Besides the fact that it's long overdue, what made you finally decide to pick this one?
I mean, it's Black History Month, but also I feel like Jordan Peele is one of those directors that everyone talks about as, the one of the four up and coming directors of our generation, and we haven't done any of his movies yet, so. And he has a new movie coming out this year, I think, like a actual directing movie, I think.
Yeah, there's an untitled credit on there, but I don't know if it's this year or not.
Like he's produced a bunch of stuff, some not so great, some pretty good, but yeah.
He just did him last year, but because I mean his three directed credits, like no surprise, they're fucking amazing movies. So I'm excited to see what he comes up with in the future for sure. All right. Well, before we talk about it, we'll kick off our news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking still on my French Saison.
Ooh.
Yes, farmhouse ale. What
I'm
about you?
drinking a grape slushy Coors Seltzer.
Sounds pretty damn good, actually.
Oh man, they're so good. I love these things. And then I got a Michelob on tap.
Nice.
Where are we? Oh, what's your last four watched?
Things. Did watch a few things, but one I did want to shout out was, well, I fucking finished Hellraiser Collection. I still have the remake to watch, which I don't know why they don't include it in like the Letterboxd collection, but
That's weird.
anyway. Not great. I did see the 4K collection at Sunrise Records today. It's like $190, so I was like,
Oof.
yeah,
If it wasn't so expensive, I would say like that's kind of one just to have on your shelf, but
We watched a Good Fortune, kind of a date night. It is all right. It's kind of disappointing, honestly.
that's
Not great.
Keanu's new one.
Yeah, Keanu and Seth Rogen and Aziz.
Right.
Finally watched After Hours,
Nice.
Martin Scorsese. I saw it was on Netflix and I was like, fuck, this just popped up. I have to watch it. So watched it, fucking loved it. Easily top three Scorsese for me.
Really?
Yes,
Okay.
it's very different than his other stuff because it was like
Yeah.
85, but it's fucking hilarious. It has a great cast and it's just fun. Then I watched Shelby Oaks. I forgot that I was getting the Blu-ray on the Kickstarter, so watch that. I thought it was fairly good. His directorial debut, and then I watched Tetsu the Bullet Man because I needed to finish that one to finish my collection and couldn't find it, so hit up Amazon and bought the DVD for like $35.
Nice.
So it was all right, fucking still crazy ass shit. And that's pretty much it.
All right.
I wish you.
For me, I watched one of the guys on Two Chicks Discord server. He hosted a watch party for Blackula last weekend. So I watched that with them. First time watch for me, it was fun. I mean, it's not a great movie by any means, but it was all right. Sarah and I went to a spa and hotel for the night on Saturday, so we watched Eternity while we were there. She really wanted to watch it. It was okay. Like, I didn't love it, didn't hate it. Kind of
Yeah.
predictable, but it was good.
Yeah.
I also watched Shelby Oaks. Also didn't hate it. I think it was a decent enough movie. It had some good ideas, and I don't know, it was creepy as fuck at some parts,
It
but
was actually scary at some parts, yeah.
yeah. But yeah, it's definitely worth checking out, I think. And then I watched Strangers Chapter 2 because I hadn't watched it yet from last year. And man, they need to just fucking stop with these movies because the first one is like one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I think it's so fucking well done. It's so creepy. It just gets under your skin. And then Strangers Pray at Night was good. It was a little bit of a different feel. But I enjoyed it. But like this whole new trilogy is just fucking dog shit, man. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I didn't like the first the Strangers chapter one. I haven't watched this chapter two yet, so.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I think they're just overdoing it at this point and they need to just stop.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. For our news, there's like a lot of trailers this week. Scream 7 got released their last trailer before it comes out on Friday.
Nice.
Evil Dead Wrath has been confirmed. It's now in production. Winona Ryder is confirmed to join the Wednesday season 3 cast.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. We got the Backrooms trailer, teaser trailer, which is A24's new horror movie coming out.
It's like a 20-year-old that directed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a YouTuber or something.
Fuck, man, these YouTubers. They're kind of
I
making a
know.
name for themselves right now.
Yeah, he's like 20 years old or something.
That's crazy. Resident Evil Requiem, the new game, it's coming out this week. I think it's this week.
Yeah, I think it's a co-op game, isn't it?
Really?
Or it has co-op, I think, in it.
Yeah, maybe. It's getting good scores though. Might not be this week. When's it coming out?
I
Yeah,
think it is.
February
Yeah.
27th, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen people be playing it already.
Yeah. I forgot about this, but I don't know if you ever watched them back when you were younger. Faces of Death. So
Sounds familiar.
they're doing a new movie of that. It comes to theaters April 10th. Kind of shocked it's going to be in theaters, but it's probably not going to be like it used to be because people give more of a fuck now than they did back in the 90s, 80s and 90s.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like that's it. Primates available on digital download now. The X-Files reboot gets a pilot order at Hulu with Ryan Coogler directing it. Yeah. Got a little teaser for Ready or Not Part 2.
Oh, did we? Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, just a lot of trailers and shit this week and some movie announcements. So
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything to add or not.
No, I mean, like I mentioned to you today, Project Hail Mary had their two screeners yesterday, I think in LA, New York, and getting really good reviews. People talking about it's like this generation's 2001 Space Odyssey and
Oh shit.
like Gosling's best performance and already best actor contender.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
The book was so good.
It was, yeah.
All right, what do we got for 4Ks? See if you can break my wallet again this week.
Let's see. So we got Terror Firmer. It's like a trauma movie. We got Tank Girl.
Fucking so excited. I
Never
almost
heard of it.
pre-ordered it tonight.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
That's funny. We got the Phantom of the Opera. They had no idea that Dario Argento made a version of that.
Huh.
Huh, that's cool. We got At Close Range, The Doors, The Great Silence. We got The Ghost, True Romance, Excalibur. I saw that today at the store, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was it $85?
No, it was not. No.
This website's fucking wild.
Yeah. Westworld. Also saw that there. Retribution. Prison on Fire 1 and 2. We got The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Network on Criterion, and The Man Who Wasn't There also on.
Sweet. All right. Let's dive into this movie.
Do it.
Okay, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Get Out from 2017. Starting off the synopsis, a young African American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend, where his simmering uneasiness about their reception of him eventually reaches a boiling point. Such a poetic synopsis. We already mentioned it, but this is directed by Jordan Peele, who has also done Us and Nope, and he has another movie in the works right now. He's also produced quite a few bangers. He's got like BlacKkKlansman, Twilight Zone TV show, Lovecraft Country, the Candyman reboot, Monkey Man. I forgot he produced Monkey Man.
Yeah, me too.
Him that we mentioned earlier, and he's got a bunch of others too. So he's got a really good fucking resume. And I love because he came from Key and Peele, obviously, and their show was just so goddamn funny, man. And whenever he first announced that he was going to start directing horror movies, I was like, what the fuck? Like, that doesn't fit your profile, but man, he's killing it. He's doing so good. For our cast, we have Daniel Kaluuya, who plays Chris. Allison Williams plays Rose. Katherine Keener plays Missy. And Bradley Whitford plays Dean. And I have a few honorable mentions, but I'll let you do
Before we
yours.
get to the honorable mentions, Daniel Kaluuya, I don't know if I'm saying that right, is an interesting actor because he hasn't acted since 2023.
It's been that long?
And it was voice acting in Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
But it's just interesting because like he is a great fucking actor, like we've seen in this movie,
Yeah.
kind of his breakout, Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
And Nope, obviously. He doesn't have anything upcoming until 2027, the next Spider-Man, and then a bunch of other movies in pre-production and
Damn.
stuff like that.
Yeah, he could be like a really big star. Like, he's a really good actor.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't realize it had been that long.
One person, I have one honorable mention,
Right.
and I'm fairly certain that it was this person from this movie, but I'm just a little check. I never noticed it before. I was like, pretty sure that's her. Yes, it is. Okay. So the girl that plays Philomena, it's Andre's
Okay,
wife.
yeah.
She plays the family friend in 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
The scene where they're at the shoe shop and Jonah Hill starts
Yeah,
smacking her with the
yes.
shoes.
Right. That's great.
Anyway,
Good call
continue.
out. I have Lakeith Stanfield, who plays Logan.
I love him, man. He's
Man,
such a
just
good actor.
so good. Is it hit? Yeah, he's in Atlanta.
And again, he's not in that much stuff, I feel like, either,
No,
right?
no. Steven Root played Jim Hudson. Lil Rel Howery, I don't know who he is specifically. I can't remember. I think I've seen him in something else.
He was in the new Godzillas, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, I think you're right, actually. But dude, he's so fucking funny in this movie.
He is very good.
Like, just some really good comedic breaks.
See, he did the voice of Chief on Dogman. I think you watched that, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, nothing really. He's in a lot of stuff, but nothing really that kind of stands out.
Yeah. And my last one is Caleb Landry Jones, who plays Jeremy. And we were just talking about him the other day.
On
I
one of the
mentioned
episodes,
he was in something, and I can't remember what it was. Or he's coming up in something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, yeah. But like, really good cast and a good mix of like lesser known actors to better known people, so For a directorial debut, I think he really assembled a really good team of actors. All right. Ready to
Yes, sir.
dive in?
Yeah, I just want to talk about quickly about the first time I watched this movie. Watched in the theater, by myself, and literally had zero idea of what this was. And one of the best theater experiences I've ever had. I think everyone in the theater had the kind of same feeling as me. Like some of the scenes in it that happened, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So definitely a great theater experience I had in this.
I was a little late watching this one because I didn't see it in theaters, and I don't think I watched it until I bought the Blu-ray.
Okay.
And I was telling you, like, whenever you picked it, like, I've only watched this twice now. And it's not because I don't enjoy it. It's just I've never, for whatever stupid reason, I've just never gone back to it. But yeah, I don't know. But it's one that deserves like a lot of watches. I don't know what I was trying to say, but
So the movie opens up. We got Andre walking down the street at night. He's on the phone talking to someone, and we see this white car kind of pull up and is acting strange. And even Andre is like, man, what the fuck? I'm just gonna walk this fucking way. And then we see him get kidnapped and taken away. And I don't think I noticed this on like the first few times I've watched this, but the person that kidnaps him is 100% Jeremy.
Yeah, it's his car. You see it at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even really pick up on that like
Yeah.
in the previous watches that I did on this.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously we're fast forwarding right to the fucking last scene in the movie, but Chris gets in the car and he in the passenger seat there's like this fucking old like Templar helmet, and that's what he uses to hide his identity whenever he's kidnapping these people.
But it also goes to show like the difference between the ways that the brother and sister get the people to come to
Yeah,
the
that's
house,
true.
right?
Yeah.
Like obviously we see Jeremy later in the movie is just fucking crazy. Like he is something wrong with his head.
I love his
He's all about
character.
violence and just like he's so aggressive.
Yeah.
And then Rose plays like the innocent white girl kind of
Yeah.
thing.
She dates them and then brings them home and
And she puts the work in, right? Because she's dating them for like 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, because her and Chris have been together for 5 months.
And even after that long, like you'd think that you would maybe pick up like some sort of like feelings, right? Like she does say that, like, oh, Chris, you're my favorite that I've had. So,
Just gotta look at the bigger picture, though. These white people, they pay a lot of money.
it's true. And the soundtrack is just a banger in this movie too.
Yeah.
It's so good. So Rose is taking Chris to meet her parents. And I love this opening too because they're in her apartment. They're packing up and he's like kind of hesitant, and she is like, oh, it's okay. Like, my parents aren't racist.
My dad would
And
have voted for Obama
what's the question I want to ask? And I don't know, maybe it's different because I'm a white guy that's saying this, but like, is this family racist? I think, in a sense, yes, but they're also. Like they want them for like their body, like their how do I say, like positives, like in their
Yeah, it's almost like trying to tread lightly. Just I do think they are, but not in a sense of like we hate your race. I think it's more of like a we want to be you sort of thing, which I don't know if that's racism or if that's just
What's
I
the
don't know the
word?
word, like appropriation almost,
Yes,
but
that's, I think that was taking it a little bit.
cultural appropriation, but it's like, yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting. I think obviously I think Peele does that intentionally, right?
Yeah.
But like this whole, I mean, kind of skip it ahead, but this whole thing that this family does started because the grandpa got beat by a black guy at the Olympics, right? And he's like, shit, well, only way to beat them is to join them, basically, right? I don't know. It's makes you ask questions, is, you know, kind of think about the movie a bit, right? So anyway, yeah, so they're on the way to the parents, and this fucking deer scares me every fucking time. It just comes out of nowhere. And yes, they hit the deer, they pull over, the deer's still alive, and Rose doesn't want Chris to go near it, and Chris sees it. And I feel like there's more to this scene that Peele's trying to kind of say. Because obviously there's the connection at the end of the movie with this deer, and Chris keeps seeing this deer in his kind of dreams when he's like being hypnotized or whatnot, right?
I think it's bringing him back to because his mom died, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything about it. Or sorry, he feels like he's guilty because she survived for a little while and he didn't realize that she was gone for too long. He didn't call the cops, so she died by herself on the streets. And I feel like that deer is kind of bringing out that guilty feeling again.
And she got hit by a drunk driver,
So like he
which
hits a
this
deer.
deer, yeah, exactly.
He's not a drunk driver, but I mean still
No.
gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And I feel like he doesn't want to leave the deer to die alone in the middle of the street, like his mom did.
And I think Rose is so good in this fucking movie. Like, she is so believable with everything she does. Like, this scene when the cop comes and Chris is just chilling by himself away from him, and then the cop is like, oh, can I see your ID, your driver's license? And he's like, oh, I mean, I wasn't driving. And he's like, oh, no, I need to see your ID. And then, like, Rose steps in, like, gets all fucking angry. Like, why do you need to see his ID? Because something happened and I need to see everyone's ID. And she's like, yeah, okay, fucking right. And the cop is like, okay, yeah.
I read in the trivia too, and I didn't pick up on this, but it wasn't that she was sticking up for Chris. She made it seem like that, but it's because if Chris showed the cop his ID, then it leaves a paper trail, which I thought was a really cool touch that I didn't even really think of.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, so they pull up to the house. We see Walter very quickly. Him and Georgina are very fucking creepy throughout this whole movie. Yeah, like I said, they've been together 5 months. Missy is a psychiatrist. Jeremy studying medicine like his father, and Dean is a neurosurgeon. And I think like the casting in this is so fucking good. Like, I know you said his name already, but the guy that plays Dean,
Caleb Landry Jones. Oh, Bradley Whitford, sorry.
Bradley
Same.
Whitford, he is so fucking good. I don't know if you've ever seen Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, he's fantastic in that show.
Yeah,
He's
he is.
amazing. And I think he's so good in this movie. And same with the girl that plays Missy.
Catherine Keener.
Yeah, she's from 40 Little Virgin, right? I think just, yeah, everyone is just so good in this movie. Yeah, so he's taking him around, and Dean is like, I don't know. I think Dean may be a little racist a bit, I think, out of all of them.
I think he's a closet racist. Like he doesn't, he tries really hard to make it seem like he's not.
And he's making it kind of like a joke, like jokey, like he can kind of get away with it, or is kind of like pulling his chain. Because like this first like 10 minutes when he meets them, like Dean showing around the house and stuff, and just everything he's like, he says about the Olympics, and he's like, oh yeah, what the guy's name that beat his grandpa, but oh, he was like a legend and stuff like this. And then like the goat side, and he's like, yeah, I would have voted Obama for a third term. And he says some like a certain words that like, white people wouldn't say, right? You see Georgina, she's also being creepy. You learned that, and they're like digging into Chris like hard. And so his dad left when he was at a young age, and his mom passed whenever he was 11 years old. It was a hit and run. He's like tap on the table, and Missy asks like, "Are you a smoker?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm trying to quit." And then they kind of mention that, oh, she's a psychiatrist and she hypnotizes people to stop smoking. And he's like, "No, like I'm good, you know."
And they're so adamant on him quitting, because even Dean's like, ah, it's a nasty, disgusting habit. Because it's like these white people, these rich white people, they take their brains out and put them in the black person's body. So they obviously want the body to be healthy and without any sort of diseases
That's
or
true,
cancer or anything like that.
I didn't think of it that way, but that makes sense. But also, like, I feel like they're kind of hounding him to do this hypnotizing because that's the only way that they can get Chris into the sunken place to get him, to have control over him, basically.
So it's like, I don't know how they research the people that they're gonna, because we see at the end, Rose is sitting on a computer and she's like looking up different people. And it's just like, so they found a guy that smokes, that is going to be easily manipulated into the hypnosis. He has childhood trauma, so again, psychiatry. He has no family. It's just like, how the fuck does Rose like filter these searches out and finds these people?
I think based on the pictures we see at the end of the movie of all the people that she has gotten, each of them, they're all black, obviously, but they all look different. They have a different style, a different like build to them. Like some of the guys are like big jacked guys, and then one of the guys was like a skinny, like kind of like fancy looking, like sweater. So maybe he is, different. And then we find out that I think they got Chris for his art. I think they intentionally got Chris for Jim.
Because Jim wants his eyes, which
And
I don't know if I want to jump this far ahead,
well,
but
I
I
was gonna do
mean,
the same thing, probably the same question as you. How the fuck does that bingo work?
oh, that's not
Oh, okay.
it, but I agree. It's basically like an auction.
That's what I got, but it's like, how do they? Because he's not saying anything, right? He's just doing like the numbers, and everyone has their thing with already their like their line made. So
Maybe
is he just.
if you get a bingo, then you get first pick or first bid or something.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. My
Anyway.
question was going to be, because Jim's blind, right?
Yes, he's
And
a art director or something.
he's an art dealer.
Oh yeah.
And he's blind, and he has an assistant that describes the pictures to him in vivid detail. She gives him every single detail of it. But he hasn't always been blind. He talks to Chris and he tells Chris that he tried to do photography. He didn't have the knack for it. He wasn't talented enough. So then he became a dealer and he lost his eyesight. So he wants Chris's body for his eyes and his talent. The thing I don't understand with that is the talent doesn't come from his body, it comes from his brain. So if Jim doesn't have the talent in his own body with his own brain, Why is his brain in Chris's body going to give him the talent of Chris?
That's true.
That was the only thing in this movie that I was just like, I don't get that.
Because he wants Chris's eyes.
Yeah, which is understandable. I get that. But it's
But
still his brain attached to those eyes.
you could have anyone's eyes. It doesn't matter
Yeah.
who it is. Because even Jim says, I don't care about the color of your skin,
Yeah.
right? I just want your eyes. So it's like, okay, well, you could have fucking any
S
race.
steal Dean's eyes.
Exactly. Anyways, where was I?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all good. We see glimpses of Georgina. She is like pouring the iced tea, and then she just like kind of like zones out.
Yeah.
We learn later on that actually the first time I watched this, I had no fucking clue that the grandparents were the fucking the Georgina and Walter until obviously the reveal.
Fuck, that's why she calls him grandma and grandpa at the end. I didn't clue into that.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was just like, why the fuck did she call them grandma and grandpa? I never even fucking clued
The grandma is Georgina.
Yeah, okay.
Because even at
That
the end,
makes
because
sense.
Georgina yells, "You fucking ruined our family," or something, right?
Oh, she said, you fucking ruined my home. Wow. All right, okay. Yeah.
So anyway, the first time I saw it, and those like. Had no clue, like until the end, and is like, holy fucking shit! Like,
Yeah.
but then you see it throughout the movie, and you're like, okay, like after watching it a few times, you're like, okay, something's up with these people, because
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you learn later on that whenever Jim is explained to Chris, like the procedure and stuff, like basically, they keep a small part of your brain, which you can still see and hear, which is. Fucked up,
Yeah.
but you can't do anything. So I think whenever Georgina kind of zones out, I think it's like she's taken over from the grandma for like a
Yeah.
brief second.
That's still in the sunken place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
First meet of Jeremy, very aggressive dude, and he just wants to talk about MMA and sports and. Wants to put Chris in a headlock. I think Jeremy was abused by this family.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, I think Missy fucked him up, I think.
That's very possible.
Because whenever Jeremy goes to behind Chris, it's not Dean that says stop. Missy gets very fucking serious and says, Jeremy, don't. And immediately he stops. He's like, okay.
Maybe the
So,
kids are hypnotized.
you know what? I never.
Maybe she has
I
them
don't
under
know if they're
some.
hypnotized, but I think they're scared of Missy.
Yeah.
At least Jeremy might be, I think.
Maybe because they know what she's capable of doing.
So Chris can't sleep. He's wandering the house. He's going out for a smoke. And then this scene of Walter just fucking booking it at him. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then just like turns immediately last second. And
Yeah.
Chris is just like, what the fuck is going on?
Man, if I was Chris, I would have turned around and ran into the house.
Seriously,
I'd be like this big ass guy, it's just
Mm-hmm.
fucking barreling at me.
And then we see Chris come back to the house, and Missy is in her office. And again, Missy is so good with her words and good at her job, basically. Like, she's good at enticing people. She just,
Yeah.
he doesn't want to go in there. She has him sit down. And as soon as you see him sit in the chair, you're like, that was a mistake. You're done. You're done. And she just has a way with words that she just answers. The questions for him basically before she
Yeah.
even asks the question, right? She starts asking, talking about his mom, and then he just gets in, and then she's like, do you hear the rain? And he's getting choked up. He's getting uncomfortable, and he just And I just love this scene. And then whenever he's like, oh, I can hear the rain, you hear the rain in the movie, and then he's like crying, and then she's stirring the spoon in her teacup, and then I think she does something, and then what'd
She
she
taps it,
say?
doesn't she?
She taps it, and she tells him, oh, you can't move. And he's like, I can't move. And she's like, now sinking to the floor. And he's just like, no. And then just this whole scene is so fucking cool, man. Like in the sunken place, because he like goes down in like this kind of like, I don't know, realm kind of thing with like stars and stuff. And you see like, looks like a TV that she's up and she's like peering down. Oh, it's so cool.
And he's just like kind of floating there.
Yeah.
Have you ever been hypnotized?
I have not. No, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I've been to like hypnotist shows and stuff,
Okay.
but I've always been somewhat skeptical. I
Yeah.
don't know how legit it is, so I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah.
Because like the one that it was I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he's like a triple X hypnotist. He came to our college and he wouldn't make them like get naked or do anything like that, but like he would make them do like sexual acts like with
Yeah.
all their clothes on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking funny, but it was also like, are you really doing that, or are they like part
Yeah.
of this show?
Right. Yeah. Nice. So yeah, the next day he wakes up in bed. He's outside taking pictures and stuff like that. I think he's like goes up and introduces himself to Walter, and Walter's, you know, weird still. And what's his? I'm surprised that you didn't pick up on the grandma and grandpa thing.
Because Walter talks like a fucking
Exactly.
1920s guy.
I forget what he says in this scene, but then with Georgina, whenever she unplugged his phone, and he's like, oh, that wasn't gonna ride on you. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, I wasn't gonna something else. And she's like, oh, a tattletale. It's like,
True.
okay, yeah.
Fuck it. I know, it makes so much sense now. I feel like an idiot that I didn't pick up.
Were you as uncomfortable during this party as I was?
Oh
And I
yeah.
couldn't even imagine Chris.
It, Chris, he it's just fucking uncomfortable scene after uncomfortable scene.
Yeah.
It's just like this party full of rich white people, and he's kind of being forced to go around and talk to everybody because Rose is like walking around chatting with everybody.
Yeah.
And it like every single interaction is the same as his first one with Dean, right? Where it's like all these people are trying way too hard to show that they're not racist, and they're talking
Yeah.
about fucking like Tiger Woods and just like these famous black people. It's like, oh my
Yeah.
God, man.
It's funny seeing everyone wants to bid on Chris for different reasons, right? We see the guy come up asking about golf. Oh, hey, do you golf? Yeah, I golfed once, wasn't that good. And then the wife is like, you know, whatever, Jack here, whoever his name was, he's like, he's a retired golf professional golfer. He's like, let's see your form. Chris is like, what? Like, no. He's like, I like Tiger Woods. It's like, what the fuck? And then like the one guy in the wheelchair, and the like wife is like, oh, whatever, Doug, like he looks nice, he's like has nice muscles. And Chris is like, what is going on? And then the one guy who's like obsessed with Chris, he's like, you know, black is in fashion right now. It's like, what?
That makes me wonder too, like, because he says black is in fashion. So, like, 10 years down the road, are they going to be going after Asian people
I don't know,
or
yeah.
Indian people? The only person that I'm like, I wasn't uncomfortable with was Jim.
Yeah, 'cause
He
he's
just,
blind.
because, well, yeah, that. And I don't know. He talked to Chris like he was a person. Like, everyone else is talking to him like he's some sort of, I don't know, like skin suit, essentially, because that's what he is to them, right? Whereas Jim was like, oh yeah, I know who you are. I've seen your artwork, or I've seen your photography. And Chris is just like, what? And then he explains like his whole process to him.
Yeah.
But
I love that scene too, because in the background, they have badminton set up,
yeah.
and Jeremy is playing badminton against one other guy, and they are so fucking bad they can't even get one rally going, and it's like I feel like that was intentional, like
Yeah.
so. So yeah, Chris does end up seeing one black guy there, and is Andre from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And Chris, he feels like he knows who this is, but he doesn't remember who he is. And I forget what Chris says to him. Something about like, oh, let's say something about another brother around, and Andre doesn't know how to act black, like similar to
Yeah.
Walter, right? Doesn't know the lingo that they use and stuff like that. So yeah. Also weird whenever Chris is like, okay, I've had enough. He goes upstairs and everyone just stops talking
Yeah.
and
That
just
was
like
fucked up.
looks up and just like listening to where he is. It's like so weird.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, his phone was unplugged. He thinks it was Georgina that did it. And I think in this scene too, like the real Georgina and the grandma, it's like kind of there's a separation going on, right? Because
Yeah.
she's crying and she's like, no. And then she's like laughing at the same time. So like Georgina is Georgina crying, the one crying, and then
Yeah.
like the grandma's laughing.
Yeah, and the actress Betty Gabriel, she does, I don't know, she just, I don't know if I've ever seen her in anything before.
Yeah, you have. I looked her up
Yeah.
before. Yeah,
But
she was
like
in.
she was so good in this scene specifically, where like, because like how you said, she's laughing but she's also crying and like trying to give him a warning, it almost seems like
Yeah.
it's like she's playing two different emotions at the same time, and she just did a really good.
Yeah, she played the detective in Upgrade, and
Oh
she was
shit.
in The Purge: Election Year. Don't know. I don't
Okay.
remember that movie. And she was in Novocaine as well. I think she played Mincy, maybe one of the cops, maybe, or
Okay.
anyway. But then we get the scene. He goes outside again, and I forget the guy's name, Tanaka, the one Asian guy there.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
He asks him about the African American experience now, is positive or negative or something in these days.
Yeah.
And Chris is like, oh, hey, Andre, or not Andre, whatever he says his name is.
Logan.
Logan, this is a perfect question. What do you think about the African American experience? And he's like talking, but doesn't know how to answer it. And then Chris is trying to film it and takes a picture by accident. The flash goes off, and then it somehow severs something in his brain.
Yeah.
And Andre comes out. And immediately he starts like bleeding from his nose, and he goes up to Chris. He's like, get out, like, get the fuck out of here. And then all the white people just fucking take him inside. And then, like, he comes out back later. He's like, oh, just something
Had a
that I was.
seizure.
Yeah. So, definitely some weird shit. Chris definitely knows something's going on. He pulls Rose aside to go talk, and he's like, I think we should go. But I'm not going to leave without you. And I thought it was weird that they were playing this bingo while Chris was there.
Yeah.
They have like the giant picture of Chris, and it's like, what if he
Like,
comes? What if he comes over? It's
yeah.
like,
Clearly something's going on.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, Jim ends up winning. I already don't get how this whole. Yeah, Chris is sending pictures of Andre to Rod. And like throughout the movie, you see him talking to Rod, and Rod is a TSA agent, and he's like, something's wrong here. Like, do you trust these white people and like all this stuff? And Rod calls immediately, and he's like, that's Dre. And Chris is like, what are you talking about? That's fucking Dre. He worked at the movie theater with cousin whoever. Chris is like, oh, I knew that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
He's been missing for months
thumbs
now.
up, yeah. Like, he doesn't dress like that. And then Rod's like, they're fucking making him into sex slaves or something like
Yeah, that's
that.
Rod's big thing, right?
Yeah.
Because Logan's married to like this old ass white woman.
So yeah, he tells Rose that they gotta go. She's like packing up stuff, and then he finds the box of Rose's shit with all the pictures of the black guys. I don't know if I noticed, but the last picture is her with Georgina. Was the picture before that Walter?
Yes,
There
it was.
was him? Okay, yeah. So like at that point, you know, Chris needs to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, and he realizes that too.
Yeah.
'Cause she at the start of the movie, she's told him that he's her first or her only black boyfriend that she's had. And
Yeah.
now he's seeing all these pictures and that's clearly a lie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And not only that she's lying about it, but also like these people are fucking here and they're acting all weird. So something's up.
Now the whole party's gone. It's nighttime now. And Chris tells Rose, let's get the keys. Rose keeps saying, we can't find the keys right now. And he's like, well, we'll walk and look at the same time. And I love this whole scene. I think Kaluuya is so fucking good in this scene. Because the entire time he's going downstairs, he's like, Rose, where are the keys at? Where's the keys? And we see Jeremy in front of the door with his fucking lacrosse racket. He always has something in his hands.
Yeah, he does.
Something. And then he goes into like the living room and he's like, Rose, come on. Get those keys. And then we see Dean is like kind of in the living room and he's like asking a question, what's the purpose of life or something like that. Then we see Jeremy come out with the lacrosse and he's kind of like standing up, you know, Chris a bit. And Chris just keeps asking Rose, get those keys. And he knows he's fucked. But he keeps saying that over and over again, right? Because he doesn't want it to happen, right? He wants her to get the keys and
Well,
him
and
to
he,
be wrong about it.
I feel like he has some shred of hope too that she's not like them.
And she's still playing, right? Because she's like, oh, I'm looking, I can't find it. And then she like pulls the keys and she's like, there's immediately a face switch. Like she's so good in this movie. And she's like, you know, I can't do that, Chris. And then I was like, Chris, you can fucking take Jeremy. Jeremy's this little fucking scrawny guy. And even Jeremy says before, like, you could be an MMA fighter with your, what is it, like your physique and something. It's like, you could be a fucking beast. It's like, yeah, Chris, fucking get him. And then he gets him and then just immediately fucking Missy taps the glass and he just falls. And I'm like, fuck, I feel like he could have gotten out of there. But and he goes into the sunken place. Yeah, so Rod can't get a hold of Chris. Rod is talking to the cops, and they're not buying it at all. They're just making fun of him.
Oh, because his story is so fucking batshit crazy. He's going on about the sex slaves again.
It is, but I mean, it's kind of true, right? Like,
Yeah, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah, so Chris is up in the basement. There's a TV there, the deer head. There's a deer head on the wall. And then we see the TV come on. It's Roman, who is the grandpa. He is talking on TV. He's talking about the coagula procedure, and that his family has I don't know, done the procedure. Like they've expertised it. That's not a word, but you know what I
Mastered
mean,
it.
mastered it. The son, I think, did really, Dean. And then we see the spoon and the teacup on TV. And then while this is happening, I love that Rod ends up calling Rose or calling the phone, and Rose picks up. And this whole scene is so good with her. She's just like, her face is like dead. And she's just like, her voice is like, oh no, but her face is like straight. It's like fucking crazy. I don't know. Oh yeah, she's like, he's like, oh, I can't find Chris. She's like, what? He left like 3 weeks, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And Ross's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I can't find him. And she's like, did you call the cops? And like has like a straight face and like has her voice is like worried, but she's not fucking worried at all, right?
Yeah.
And then Rod is like, okay, hold on one sec. I'm gonna fucking record this bitch and I got her. I know this bitch's last name. And then gets on and he's like, hey, Rose. She's like, yeah. And she's like, I know what this is about. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, I know you want to fuck me and the way you look at me when we hung out. And he's like, bitch, why the fuck are you talking about that? Chris, my best friend. And she's going on and on. And he just hangs up. She's like, fuck. And then we see on the TV, Jim comes on the TV and he is talking to Chris about the procedure, which we are explained. You know, they put Jim's brain into Chris's body. They keep a little piece there so Chris can still hear. He'll be in the he'll live in the sunken place forever, basically. So they're getting ready for surgery. They're fucking slicing Jim's head open. And then we see Jeremy going to get Chris, and Chris stuffed part of the armchair into his ears so that when the glass came, he wouldn't get hypnotized. He hits Jeremy with like a croquet ball kind of thing. Doesn't kill him somehow, even though he's bleeding the fuck out like hard. And then we see I think he should have left the fucking puffs of stuff in his pocket or something, you know,
Yeah, I
just in
agree.
case. Because he just knocked the teacup away from her, but like, what if she had it and you're fucked? Right? And then we see Dean, he's calling for Jeremy, and then we see Chris just fucking stab him with the deer head.
I love that kill.
Gores him to death. He goes upstairs, he broke the teacup, and then he ends up stabbing Missy. Jeremy's still alive, they get into a fight. Jeremy puts him in a headlock, and then Chris gets out of it, ends up fucking kicking his head in and just killing him. And then, like you said before, Rose is chilling upstairs looking for the next guy. She's eating Fruit Loops with the fucking glass of milk.
Dude, what the fuck? Psychoticism is that? She's got a bowl of dry Fruit Loops and then drinking milk from a straw out of a glass. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
So he ends up getting away. We see Georgina does step in front of the car, and then Chris even says, just keep fucking driving. He obviously doesn't. He gets Georgina, and the grandma says, you fucking ruined my family. We see Rose comes out, and she has the gun. She shoots, I think she shoots Georgina, right? And so the car crashes. And then I love this scene too, you already mentioned, but she's just like, get him, grandpa. And then he just fucking runs up with the shotgun. How does Walter come out of it?
He gets his phone, flashes him with his phone.
Right, okay, yeah. So in those 2 seconds that Walter is out, he shoots Rose in the stomach, and then he takes the gun to himself and kills him. And then we see Chris gets on top of Rose and is starting to choke her, but then he stops. He couldn't do it. We see a cop car pull up, and of course, it is our boy Rod.
In a fucking
And
TSA vehicle.
TSA car, and he's like, I told you not to go in that fucking house. And then Chris is like, how'd you find me? And he's like, I'm TS motherfucking A. We got this shit handled. And then we see Rose is still alive, but then she ends up, I think, dying. So they didn't want to have this original ending.
Yeah, no, it was a different ending.
Yeah. Where Chris, like a cop shows up or something, and Chris, it's not a good ending.
Chris gets arrested for killing the family.
Yeah, because I think they showed this for test screening, I think,
Okay.
and the people didn't like it,
Yeah.
so Peele changed it to have Chris survive, which I think is the right call, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think Peele said too that the audience deserves a happy ending after everything that they.
That's yeah, that definitely what I read too, yeah.
Yeah. And I like this ending. I'm glad that Chris was able to get away and Rod didn't die, because like that was a fear that I had too. Rod's gonna show up and then he's gonna
Okay,
get
yeah.
killed. Because man, like I don't know, the friend always ends up getting fucked. So I was happy
Yeah.
that they're both able to leave.
Yeah, me too. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Ooh. That's the way the blood splatters.
Oh, sorry. How'd you rate this movie?
Surprise.
I already
I gave it a
know, but
5 out of 5.
yeah.
I just think that this is a phenomenal movie, especially for a directorial debut. Like, honestly, there's not many directors that you can say and their directorial debut have basically a masterpiece. Honestly, there's a handful. I just think the writing, the script is fantastic. I think the acting is amazing. The score is great. Just original story, which I think we could all appreciate these. Not much more to say, just honestly an amazing movie. How about you?
I'm the same. I give it a 5 out of 5. My first watch, I had it logged as a 4.5 on Letterboxd, but I mean, there's no real reason to drop it down at all. I think I basically reiterating what you said, just everything from like the script to the original plot line to the acting and character development. I think everything was done to perfection. And like Peele in this movie did such a great job of making us, well, me personally anyways, just feel uncomfortable. Like it made me feel uncomfortable to be white. And I think that's a good thing, right? Because like this is what the black community goes through. And like not like this movie specifically, because this is just fucking crazy, but just like that feeling of like uncomfortableness and like feel like I felt out of place in a way. Meanwhile, like, but at the same time, like, I don't know, because I'm not I'm not willing to cut my brain out and put it in a anybody's body. I just I don't know, just the way that Chris was treated in this movie by all the white people, it's fuck off. Like it just made you feel gross to be a white person watching this movie, which I don't know if that was Peele's, I don't know if that's what he was going for, but I mean that's a good thing that. Anyways, you guys know our scores, so head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: funny, scary, and thought-provoking, Get Out seamlessly weaves its trenchant social critiques into a brilliantly effective and entertaining horror comedy thrill ride. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
Say like a 96.
Oh man, you're so close. 98%. And that's on 403 reviews. And the audience gave it an 86%. And that's on 50,000 ratings, an average score of 4.2 out of 5, or an 8.4 out of 10. What's Letterboxd have?
Letterboxd has a 4.1 out of 5. Probably gonna be a lot of so.
Oh yeah, there was a lot.
Alan gave it a 4. Jess gave it a 5. Paul Walter Hauser gave it a 5. Josh gave it a 3.5. There's more people. Anthony gave it a 5. Slash and Captain gave it a 5. Screamin' Cinema gave it 4.5. That's it.
All right. Very well received. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Right, how'd you rate the scares in this one?
I'll give it like a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I think just for like, I don't want to say like realism, because I don't think to this extent, at least, I don't
Yeah.
think would happen. But I think just a very creepy, awkward vibe throughout the whole movie, unsettling. Whenever your first watch, you're picking up, because you really have no idea what is happening. You're like Rod in this movie on your first watch, right? You're like, what the fuck's going on? I don't trust
Are
these
they sex
people.
slaves?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not like much gore or kills. There's only like,
Just stuff at the end.
I guess the whole family, so six of them,
Yeah.
seven of them. Anyway, yeah, so 6 out of 10. Scary scene. I mean, there's nothing like scary, but I'd say like Walter running, I guess, towards
Okay.
Chris is a good one, just because like the light is not great, but I think that's intentional. Like there's only like a few like spots, and he's just like fucking booking it. And yeah, so go with that scene. And would I survive? I mean, I think so, because I mean, I wouldn't be the one who's fucking capturing black people, putting them in my into people's brain. Definitely wouldn't be one of the people at the party, so
No.
I think I would survive for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. For my scares, I give it a 4. I said the subject content is scary, but the movie itself really isn't. There's some, like, you use the word unsettling. I said the same scenes that are super creepy. So it's just like socially scary, but not traditionally scary. My scary scene, I also said the Walter running full force at Chris. Like, he's just comes out of the darkness, and the look on his face, he's just like pure fucking aggression. And it's just like, what's gonna happen to Chris right now? And then he just like turns and goes the other way. But it's just like the look on his face and the way he is running is just so like terrifying.
Question actually, while we're on this. Who do you think was in that body during that scene?
It's gotta be his grandfather, no? Her grandfather?
Because in a later interaction, Walter comes up to Chris and apologizes for him running at him like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, just get my exercise.
Yeah.
So, like, is there a chance that Walter took over that part of the brain? Like, we've seen a couple times with Georgina, where Georgina zones out or comes out of the body for a brief second.
I was thinking because obviously Walter was very old. He's a grandfather. So maybe he's like decrepit and not very mobile. So now that he has this young, strong, muscular body, he's just doing everything that he possibly can for like fitness wise. 'Cause like we see him chopping wood. He's always running. So that's kind of what I
He was an
thought.
Olympic sprinter, I guess, too.
Yeah, like back in the day. So, and like this motherfucker is sprinting. So like maybe he's just reliving the glory days, right? And would I survive? Honestly, dude, we're so in sync. I said I have no desire to transfer my brain into anyone's body or aid in the process of doing it. So I think I would be okay. So, yeah. All right. We can wrap this up. I'm glad you picked this movie finally. One of us picked
Thank
it.
you.
Long overdue. I can't believe this came out in 2017, man. Like,
I
I remember
know.
vividly when Peele said he was coming out with it. That was, what, 9 years ago now? That's nuts. But anyways, for the month of March, March is both of our birthday months, so we're going a little crazy. And we just did a franchise episode on
Hannibal.
Hannibal. Right, that was my pick. Jesus Christ. On the Hannibal movies, and we both agreed that like we'd love doing these franchises. So for the month of March, we're each picking a franchise, and we're gonna do two franchise episodes for the month of March. So my pick for a franchise. Oh, and we had strict guidelines of no more than 5 movies because these franchise episodes are obviously pretty fucking hefty. We have to watch multiple. So anyways, my pick for my franchise watch of March is going to be Critters, as you
Whoa.
already know, because yeah. But anyways, I've never watched any of these movies. I know that they're not great, but I feel like we could have fun talking about them, and I think,
I
yeah.
think I've seen the first one. I remember renting it a few years ago.
Okay.
It's been May 1st, 2022.
Oh shit. All right. I know they're all on the American Tubi, so
Okay.
they
All
might
right.
be on Canadian too. I don't know.
All right.
But anyways, yeah, I like doing shitty movies every once in a while because they make for fun episodes. So
They do, yeah.
that will be our first franchise watch of March.
Sweet.
And in the meantime, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. And there's also links to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord, anywhere that you can listen to us.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two White Guys Talking About the Abuse of Black Men and Women. But great fucking movie. Love Jordan Peele. Super excited for
Yes.
what the future.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Bye.